Ben.
Good morning. It's great to be with you today. I wish that we could be in person with each other. I tell you, being able to see some of the volunteers here yesterday for Food Share was really great to be able to catch up and to be a part of doing life again. And you are so greatly missed. I miss seeing everyone. And even though we are separated by distance and it's a virtual connection today, you know, I think there's not a greater story in the New Testament that conveys this distance really just doesn't matter to be able to connect with the truth of the gospel and what God has for us. You know, I wish that somehow you might be able to capture spiritually and intellectually, emotionally, just the hugeness and the significance of who Jesus is. I mean, think about this from an intellectual perspective. I wish I could have seen the world like maybe Da Vinci saw the world and all of the dynamics of how he was able to visualize things for the future. I think about Nikola Tesla. I mean, wouldn't you think about the incredible dynamics of how he saw things and saw the world and how those were connected? Niels Bohr, you know, Albert Einstein, all of those guys that had a different perspective of the world. And I wish we could translate that from science and from the cosmos to be able to see Jesus in the magnitude of who he is, because his life is so compelling and his life is so transformational. He offers us such new things and such a new way of life. And I just wish that our brains, our minds, our hearts, our souls could be expanded to capture the fullness of that, to be able to leave the confines of our culture and our society and our concerns and our worries behind, to be able to see the expanse of God's glory in Jesus Christ. You know, last week we talked about how at the town of Capernaum, Jesus kind of made it his home base. And that he did this amazing miracle where young man is lowered down through the roof. Four friends have taken him there. His sins are forgiven and he is made whole. We're still in Capernaum today, but in a different passage, a whole different process. Jesus' life is so compelling and he makes such interesting statements that here in Capernaum we see that people are coming to Jesus and he touches their lives and really transforms them. And he transforms them because he has such a compelling message. For example, over in Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible. With God, everything is possible." So no matter what you're facing today because of this COVID-19 crisis, whatever you're facing, whatever you were facing before this crisis began that seemed like it was impossible for you to overcome and for you to be able to be set free from, the promise is that through Jesus, through God, nothing is impossible. We also know that in the beginning parts, the first verse of the Great Commission, Jesus makes this incredible statement. He says in Matthew 28:18, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and earth." So Jesus is compelling because he has the authority to do the impossible stuff in our lives. That's reiterated in John 5:22 when it says, "In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge." And then in a few verses down it says, "And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." So Jesus is compelling because he has the authority to be able to speak and things happen and are transformed. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter today. And I invite you to turn with me over to Matthew 8. If you picked up on the emails that we sent out and have the notes to follow along with, we have several points that we're going to motor through this morning. In this passage, in verses 5 through 13, we see an incredible story unfold. At the first part of chapter 8, we see that a leper comes and asks Jesus to cleanse him. There is no one more outcast in society in Jesus' day than a leper. Because of his illness, the contagiousness of his illness, He had to stay away. He could not come into town. He was separated from his family. He was ostracized by his religion. So he couldn't have regular human relationships except with other lepers. And people were afraid of lepers. They were outcast. And here in the first part, the first four verses, this leper comes and asks Jesus to heal him, to cleanse him. And he says, "Are you willing?" And Jesus says, "I am willing to heal you. I'm willing to set you free." So this leper, this outcast, comes and seeks help and favor from Jesus. And then in the next verse, someone totally on the opposite end of the social scale from an outcast leper, a Roman centurion, comes. Now, granted, he is not accepted into first century religious culture of Jesus' day, but despite what the religious people of his day thought, this man is in charge of 100 men. He is there as a conquering place in that culture. He is pretty much connected politically and militarily. He is a wealthy man, and he has come because one of his servants is paralyzed. In Matthew 8, verses 5 through 6, it says this: "When Jesus returned to Capernaum," so the leper is healed right outside of Capernaum. In fact, most biblical scholars think that this miracle, the miracle of the leper and the miracle that will take place that we won't study today, all happened in the same day. And it says, "When he had returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer, a centurion, came and pleaded with him, 'Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain.'" So we see this really interesting dynamic. It's the same story that is found in Luke's Gospel, the 7th chapter. And in Luke 7, it says that it described the centurion as being an individual that was very interested in the one true God. And he asked two religious guys to go and intervene with him for Jesus, that Jesus might be able to help his young servant. Now, what is also interesting is that in Luke 7, the servant is called a doulos. And we get a doula like that helps women give birth to children. We get it from this term. It means servant. But here in Matthew, that term is not used for the servant. It's pais, which means a child. So apparently this young man was born into the centurion's household, and he had an affinity with him. Even though he was of the servant class, he cared about this guy. The fact that he was very religiously bent also shows that he didn't see his servants, his slaves, as property. He saw them as individuals and cared a lot for them. If you read about Roman law, most of the time servants were looked at as the same as a cart or an animal, and the only difference that they had over a cart or an animal was that they could speak. And this guy didn't have that kind of value. Instead, he is compassionate towards his servant. He is concerned about him. He is paralyzed. We do not know what the disease is, but he's paralyzed. He is in great pain, and he is near death. And so we see that he comes seeking Jesus to be able to intervene in this circumstance. The man with the leprosy said, "If you are willing, you can heal me." And Jesus says, "I am willing." And now, here comes a Gentile, someone that is not a part of the religious community of Jesus' day, someone that is a conqueror, that is a part of the contingency of Rome that is occupying ancient Israel, and he comes to Jesus and asks, "Will you help me?" And I think that there brings to us some really interesting dynamics here, that right now, if you have needs, Jesus is very willing to help you. Jesus is very willing to reach out to you, to give you grace, to give you love, to give you forgiveness, to be able to come, and whatever it is that is overwhelming you, because of Christ's love for you, because of Jesus' love for you, he is here to intervene in you today. And so this man comes seeking help from Jesus, and if you have help today, if you need help today, Jesus is here to help you. Maybe you're overwhelmed by fearfulness, or you're worried, you have needs in your life, and Jesus is here to bring intervention. The second thing I want you to see is this. One of the most compelling things about Jesus is that he is always willing to come to us in our times of need. He's always willing to come to us. And Jesus makes the statement there in verse 7, "I will come and heal him. I'm willing to come. I'm willing to be there." That is a compelling reality to know that no matter what it is that you face, Jesus is willing to come to you. He's willing to be there with you. I also want you to see this, that a lot of people feel like they are not worthy enough for Jesus to work in their lives. Because of the things that have taken place in their lives, they feel like, God can't love me because of the stuff in my past, or God can't love me because of the stuff that I'm doing now. You know, we are just like this servant. We are paralyzed and we can't move spiritually. We're in this confined place spiritually and emotionally. And right now, some of you that are listening to this message today, you are paralyzed by fear because of the circumstances that you're dealing with COVID-19. Or you're paralyzed by addictive behavior. Or you're paralyzed by depression. Or you're paralyzed with suicidal thoughts. Or you're paralyzed by relationships that are really struggling right now. And even in your paralysis right now, Jesus wants to break down that paralysis and to set you free, to bring you to a place of freedom. The officer says to Jesus, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. See, he felt like because of the religious traditions of Jesus' day that Jesus would never come to a Gentile's home. It would make Jesus unclean. It's interesting that twice this guy, who although he's a centurion, he's pretty a remarkable man as a centurion to be able to lead 100 military forces within the Roman army, that he calls Jesus Lord, that he recognizes the authority of who Jesus is. He recognizes that authority because Jesus' life and his ministry is so compelling. He's heard about Jesus, and in his time of need to intervene for his young slave, his young servant, he is willing to come and find help. Jesus makes the statement over in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. And that same invitation is there for us today, that no matter how bad you think your past is, no matter where you've been, what you've done, or where you've gone, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what kind of identity issues that you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what kind of financial circumstances that you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what kind of emotional baggage that you are dealing with. Jesus cares about you. He loves you. He cares about you enough and loves you enough that he's willing to die for us. That God demonstrates his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means you are worthy. So no matter what has transpired in your past or going on in your life today, you are worthy for Jesus to come to you. You can't and don't need to. You don't have to improve yourself and go through some sort of a self-improvement process to earn Jesus's focus on your life. And so many people think, well, I've got to get better. I've got to somehow improve my life. And once I get my act together, once I overcome my addictions, once I overcome my problems, overcome my circumstances, once I overcome the sin issues in my life, then I can come to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want us to try to fix ourselves because we can never fix ourselves. Jesus wants us to come just as we are. Jesus is such a compelling figure that he draws people to that place of great faith. In verse 9 it says, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. And I only need to say, go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those who were following him. And he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. So here's a guy, an outsider. He's not a part of the religious people of Jesus's day. And he has so much faith to realize that Jesus doesn't even have to be present to rescue his slave, his servant. He doesn't even have to be present for this paralyzation to be healed and for him to be set free. It's a fascinating passage because it reveals the mind of how so many of us feel like Jesus can't do those things. That somehow that Jesus can't change and transform our lives, and he's all about that. So whatever shame you're dealing with today, or whatever things that you feel like you can't come to Jesus for, or you don't want to impose on Him, or you have faith, but you don't have faith. You have the faith to believe, well, it's in the Bible, but you don't have faith to believe that what God can do in your life really can take place and happen to you. Or you have a works mentality that somehow I need to earn what God does for me. All of those are incorrect. They're inaccurate. The centurion has faith, but he doesn't feel worthy. And Jesus explains to them that he is totally worthy. Salvation and forgiveness and healing and favor, liberation, deliverance, all of these are blessings that cannot be earned but are given by grace because God loves us. In the religion of Jesus' day, this kind of healing was unheard of. And for a lot of people in the Christian community and a lot of people that observe as outsiders the Christian community, thinking about Jesus doing some radical stuff like this is unheard of too. But the fact is, Jesus is here to do amazing things. He is not hindered by the barriers of religious rituals and traditions. He is not hindered by our lives and our circumstances to change us and to make us different. So I've got some questions that I want to ask you. Here's one. Who has the authority in your life to be able to speak into your life and to make those changes? Who has the authority to forgive you of your past? Who has the authority to make you whole? Who has the authority to take the darkness out of your thoughts? Who has the authority to transform your life? Because every single human being has those needs, and Jesus is the only one that has that authority, and that's what makes him so compelling. But yet many of us don't turn to the only one with that authority. We try to either self-soothe, or we try to figure it out, and we are always failing. Another issue that we have, another question is, who has the authority and the willingness to change your life, to make you different? And just like the leper, and just like this servant, this Roman centurion, Jesus is willing, and he's willing to do that today. The compelling life and teachings of Jesus draw people from all walks of life to put their faith and trust in him. Look at verse 11. Isn't this an incredible passage? And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does this passage mean? It means that religious people sometimes just don't get it. Because we want to put boundaries and we want to put barriers around the truth of what Jesus has. God's Word offers us these amazing stories to be able to see the radical transformations that Jesus can make in our lives. That's why Jesus is so compelling. He came for all kinds of people. He came for every ethnicity, every race, every person that has a need. He comes for everyone, no matter what their education is or their economic background. Jesus came for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're a notorious sinner or if you just think you do wrong stuff every now and then. He is here for all of us, not just for religious people. It's not just for people that think they have power and success. It's not just for the down and out. These two people, the leper and the centurion and his slave, both show each end of the economic and educational spectrum, and Jesus is willing to touch them. Lepers and military leaders, politicians, educators, it doesn't matter. Jesus is here. No one is too down and out or too up and out that they don't need Jesus, and no one is too down and out or too up and out that Jesus is not willing to transform their lives. And he has the authority and the love to make that transformation. Jesus is compelling because he does such amazing things in people's life. Look at verse 13. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home because you believe it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. Jesus is ready. And so Jesus met this guy where he was at. He did exactly what this guy was asking him to do. Now, what's really interesting here is what is the focus of this passage? Is it the healing of the slave, or is it the faith of the centurion? It's almost as if the report of the miracle is a secondary issue. It's incredible that this young man who is in great pain and paralyzed is healed. That's incredible. But what was moving and incredible for Jesus was the faith of the centurion, someone that had been exposed to all of the philosophies and false religions of the Roman Empire, who somehow got connected to first century Judaism and now was coming to a Jewish rabbi who we now know is the Messiah, the Christ Jesus, and his faith does something incredible. It moves Jesus, and Jesus isn't even present. This young man is set free from his paralysis. And the paralysis, maybe not physiologically with some of you, but the paralysis in your life, emotionally and spiritually, relationally, financially, Jesus is here to set you free. And today, he is willing. He is willing to set you free. He is willing and has the authority to forgive your sins. He is willing and has the authority to bring deliverance to your life. He is willing and has the authority to bring healing and wholeness. So why continue a life without Jesus? Why continue going through life and not following Jesus, not trusting Him? Because He has the authority and the compelling reality that He can take wherever you are and whatever you're going through and make things change and happen. He is willing to touch your life right now, today. He is willing to change your life. When you are like this Roman centurion, when you put your faith in Him, Jesus makes everything different. He makes everything new. It's by faith that we are saved through grace. It's by faith that all that broken paralysis is changed and made whole. It's by faith that He is willing to give us new life. It is by faith that He is willing to take care of us because He cares for us. And He has the authority to do that today. And that is the most compelling truth that we can ever embrace. So I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you right where you are. For some of you, the prayer is a prayer of faith. It's saying, God, I believe. I believe in Jesus, and I put my trust and faith in Him today. For others of you, it's like you've got all of this information about Jesus, but somehow all of that information, it's very difficult to transfer that to a place of faith where you're able to really trust Him to make those changes. You understand that He is the Lord, the Messiah, He is the Christ, but do you understand that He's here to truly set you free, that He really has that compelling story that He is and has the authority to make things different in your life? So, I want to pray for you today. The first part of this prayer is for those who would like to put their faith and trust in Jesus today. So will you join me in prayer? Dear God, I realize that there are people that are listening and that will be listening to this message sometime during the week, that as we have been studying and talking about how compelling Jesus' life is, no matter what their background is, no matter where they've been, no matter where they've gone, no matter what they've done, they need Jesus. We all need Jesus. There's not a human being on this planet that doesn't need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that has the authority to forgive sin. He's the only one that has the love to forgive sin. And He is only the only one that has taken the action to die on the cross for our sins and then be resurrected to be able to bring us life. Life now and life eternal. And so God, right now, I ask that You move in people's hearts and that they'll join me in praying. And if you would like to trust Jesus right now, if you'll join me in this prayer, Jesus, You are so compelling. I need You and I want You. Jesus, I surrender my life to You today. I give You my life. I trust You. You are God the Son. You are the one that I trust. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And from this day on, I will live for You. If you prayed that prayer with me today, then Jesus has become Lord over your life. He's become your Savior. He can change and transform your life. There's a new beginning because He has the authority to do exactly all of those things. And you've been drawn to Him. Grace has drawn you to this place. The Holy Spirit has drawn you to this place. And now you have a new and changed life. The paralysis of sin is gone. You've been forgiven and you have a new life. Now, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but for some reason, we're still paralyzed with fear and anxiety and darkness. And today, we need to be set free as well. And so I'm going to pray for you right now. As you acknowledge right there where you're watching this, I need Jesus to do something more in my life today. So let me pray for you this morning. Dear God, I know that there are a lot of people that spiritually and emotionally and physically are experiencing this weird paralysis of fear and anxiety, a paralysis of that is driven by relationships or addictions or that are driven by other circumstances in our lives. God, today is a day that you want to unlock that paralysis, that you want us to be able to stand and walk in faith and to walk in you. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you set people free. When the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. God, set us free today. Take away our bondage, take away our past, take away our shame, and give us deliverance today, God, to be living as your children, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Set us free today. Take away our paralysis and help us not to walk, but to run in our faith as we follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision and prayed this morning, would you please email us at NBC, our NBC information, info, at neptunebaptist.org. Or connect with us on Facebook. You can message us as well. But we really want to connect with you if you prayed and made a decision today. God bless you.